sounds like he holds that it's a choy, but there's two, or and a hilchas tachnun. A tachnun is only a reshus. So that's what it's based on, that the Hasidim delete tachnun. That's what it's based on, that everybody deletes tachnun on many days when Mikra Adin is no good reason. You leave out tachnun on Lag Boimer, you leave out tachnun on, some people leave out on Zayin Odom, and leave out on Tu B'Shvat, all kinds of days that there's no good reason in the world why you should leave out the tachnun. So it's all based on the assumption that tachnun is only a reshus, which is highly questionable. In fact, in the yeshiva, remember when I was a Talmud many years ago, we used to have a figure by the name of Dean Zohar. I think his son is still here. Eli Zohar? He's the, used to be the school doctor. He's been... still here? Huh? So his father was a big Talmud Chacham. His father was Atelza. He was known as Dean Zohar. He was the dean of men. So whenever we would daven together on every year on Tainus Esther, so after every by Mincha, everybody would say Avinu Malkeinu. And then after Avinu Malkeinu, everybody would be ready. Half the guys would be ready to say Tachnun, because they forgot that it's Erev Purim. You don't say Tachnun. And he'd always make a big fuss. The whole yeshiva and the boys are learning a whole day, and they don't know that you don't say Tachnun on Erev Purim. So I noticed today, Shibali Haleket, that he has two minhagim. He says that in the tour he quotes. He quotes the same Goyim that the Torah quotes, that the minig in the big yeshivas in Bavel was that they said Tachnun even on Purim Gufim. On Purim they said Tachnun. They said that what better day is it to say Tachnun than Purim when our prayers were answered. So we should continue to say Tachnun on Purim. And even those who have the minig that they don't say Tachnun on Purim, they don't say Tachnun on Purim, but in Erev Purim to Mincha, he quotes that there were those who did have the minig. So he says his minig, he lived in Rome. His minig and our minig right now happens to be that we don't say Tachnun on Erev Purim. But he quotes that there were those who had such a minig. It's not really right just to delete Tachnun without good cause. The Shari Tshuva, right next to the Be'er Heitev on Siman Tov Reish Pei Vav, quotes from the Birkei Yosef, that's a sefer by the Chidor. That a chassan and a kala don't fast on Tainus Esther if it turns out to be in the middle of the Shivas Yimei HaMishta. Usually by the other Tanesim, there's a machlekes, and we paskin that the chassan kala don't fast only if the Tainus is in Nitche. Let's say if Tisha B'Av, well, Tisha B'Av, they're not going to get married within 7 days before Tisha B'Av anyway, because it's the 9 days. Well, let's say they did get married. Or let's say Asara B'Tevis, Tam Gedalia, Shabbat B'Tamu, someone gets married, and it turns out that the Tanis is in the middle of Shivas Yimei HaMishta. So it says in the, there's a machlokes, and we pass in a Shulchan Aruch, like those who show him that the only time the Chasan Kala do not fast is if the Tanis was a Nitche. If the Tanis is on the right day, on Tisha B'Av proper, around some Gedalia proper, then the Chasan Kala do have to fast. But here by Tanis Esther, it says in the Birkei Yosef that this is an exception to the rule, that even though nothing is a Nitche, everything is on the right day, still the Chasan Kala don't have to fast if it's in the middle of Shivas Yimei HaMishta. The question is, why should that be so? So the Pashtus, Rabbi Avadi Yosef, has a tshuva about this. He goes with a traditional style. It's a, how chomer is this Tainus Esther? Is it as chomer as the other Tainus, and is it less chomer than the other? Is it more chomer than the other? He has a discussion of this. He says, based on the Shulchan Aruch, it would appear in Tav Reish Pei Vav, it's less chomer than the other, so that's why he could be meikel. One could give a different explanation, however, to explain this, why this should be so. Why is there a difference? Why is there a difference between Asara B'Tevis and Shavas B'Tamuz when it's a Nitche, when it's not a Nitche? So again, one is more chomer than the other. When it's a Nitche, it's less chomer. That's how Rabbi Avadi Yosef is working. That Tainus Esther is not so chomer. Tainus Esther, even when it's not a Nitche, is chomer, or perhaps even less chomer than Asara B'Tevis when it's a Nitche. So if the Chosn doesn't have to fast when Asara B'Tevis is in Nitche, he certainly doesn't have to fast on Tainus Esther, even if it's not in Nitche, because it's less common. He goes Chumas and Kulas. If A is greater than B, if B is greater than C, if C is greater than D, then logically A is greater than D. So he may, it builds up a whole hierarchy, which is greater than which. But the Pashtus says you can give a different explanation. That's why Rav Soloveitchik gave a different shot. In order to answer a certain kasha that the Magen Avraham quotes in Hilchas Tainus from the Tshuvas Maharam Lublin, that from the Gemara it would appear that you don't, that a chosn doesn't fast even if Tisha B'Av is not a nitche. The Pashtus in the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem seems to imply that even if it's not a nitche, you still apply the svar that Yantav Shalana Hoya. So how come we don't pass on like that Gemara? That's what the Magen Avraham quotes the Kasha from the Maharam Lublin. So he gives an answer, it's a little unclear. So Rav Soloveitchik explained what the answer of the Chuvas Maharam Lublin was, which is quoted by the Magen Avraham. He said what it means is the following. The Gemara had a Shaila when Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday. And you got to fast, Tisha B'Av falls out, any Tanis, let's say, Aser B'Tavis falls out every so often on Friday. I think that's the only Tanis. Is that the only Tanis? No. Aser B'Tavis is the only Tanis that can fall out according to our calendar on a Friday. But in the days of the Tanoim, Tisha B'Av sometimes fell out on a Friday. So the Gemara quotes a Machlokes HaTanoim. When Tisha B'Av fell out on Friday, did you have to fast till the end of the day? Because they didn't know Misana Ve'eno Mashlim, that you only fast till late in the day and then you eat after Chatzos. Because it's prohibited to enter Shabbos kishuhu meune. It's a bizayin to Kedusha Shabbos to enter the beginning of Shabbos when you're starving. You shouldn't eat a big meal on Friday. Other Rabbi, the Gemara says that in Gittin, Gemara says that those families were punished who used to throw big parties on a Friday. That's not proper to eat a big meal. But still, it's not proper to fast on a Friday and then to enter into Shabbos when the person is starving. So the Gemara has this machlekes hatanayim. When Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, or let's say Bayas, when Aser B'Tavis falls out on a Friday, is the din misano mashlim? But he say no, that because it's prohibited to enter Shabbos b'shul meuneh, so that itself gives you a heter to eat on the Tisha B'Av. So that's the machlekes. So we paskin that misano mashlim, that you have to fast the whole day. In other words, that just because you have a mitzvah to eat, just because you have a mitzvah to eat on the Erev Shabbos and Nodesh Lo Yikonis Lo Shabbos Kishul Meuneh, that mitzvah to eat is not sufficient to be matir the prohibition of eating on Tisha B'Av. So what is, when is it matir? The Gemara just says, when is it matir? That you have a situation of a Yontav Shalana Hoya, only what? If Tisha B'Av is a nitche, that's how we pass in Halacha. If Tisha B'Av would be a nitche, so what's pshat in a nitche? That really the Yom HaTanis, a Yom HaTanis is a Yom Evo. So the Yom Eivol was really the 9th of Av. The 10th of Av is not really the Yom HaTainis, it's just that a Nitche. Nitche means that today we do the Kiyum for the Chiyum that was yesterday. A Nitche means that yesterday was the Chiyum and today is the Kiyum. So yesterday on Tisha B'Av had a Shem Yom Eivol. Today doesn't have a Shem Yom Eivol. It's just that we Mekayim the mitzvah fasting of yesterday. Yesterday was Shabbos, we couldn't fast, let's say. So we make Tisha B'Av into a Nitche. So we're Mekayim the Chiyuv Tanis on Sunday on a Nitche. So since Sunday is not the Yom Eivol, and this guy is a chassan, let's say, or he has a bris milah, or he has some other function which puts him into a state of Yontav Shalana Hayo. The Gemara quotes the Brayso, Reb Lezer Reb Tzadik was a descendant of those people who used to celebrate Yud Av as the Yom Korban Eitzim. His family had the chazaka for years and years from the beginning of the Binyan Bayis Sheni. The Pashtus in the Gemara is that he lived after the Churban Bayis Sheni. And the Gemara says his family had celebrated for hundreds of years, for quite a few hundreds of years, since the beginning of the Binyan Bayis Sheni. Yud Av was the Yontav Shalana Hoya. That was their private Yontav, the day on which they always used to donate the Eitzim for the Maracha. So the Gemara says, since it's Yontav Shalana Hoya, Hisanin Ovalah Hishlam Nuhu. So we only fasted till the afternoon, and then they broke the fast. What kind of a din is that? That if it's Yontav Shalana Hoya, you're allowed to eat? According to the one shot, according to the one opinion in the Tanoim, according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion, that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday, so you're allowed to break the fast in the afternoon. So it means whenever there's a Mokka Mitzvah, you can break your fast. So here also, Yontav Shalana Hoya, there was a Mokka Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to celebrate on the Yom Korban Eitzim. And so since it's Mokka Mitzvah, you can break your fast. But that's the opinion that we don't paskin like. We paskin that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Friday, Misano Mashlim. Or when Aser B'Tavis falls out on Friday, Misano Mashlim. So what's the heta to eat when it's a Tisha B'Av is in Itcha? So that's the answer. We pass in La'alocha. You say the heta is like the Loshen of Rab Lezer Rab Tzadik was. Yontav Shalana Hoya. If the day is labeled as a Yom Tov, so on the Yontav there's an Issa Tainis. And Mela, that's why you're not allowed to fast. If Tisha B'Av would not be in Itcha, the day wouldn't be able to be Nikva as a Yontav. How can you label a Yom Eivol as a Yom Tov? You can't superimpose a Shem Yom Tov on top of a Shem Yom Eivol. But if the Tisha B'Av is in Itche, so the Yom Eivol was yesterday, and today you're only doing the Kiyum HaTanis. But the day itself on Yud Av is not labeled as the Yom Eivol. So since it's the Yom Korban Eitzim of Reb Lezer Reb Tzadik's family, he's a descendant of the Bnei Sana Ben Binyamin. Gemara says in the end of Tainis that they used to celebrate the donation of the Korban Eitzim on Yud Av. So the day is labeled as a Yom Tov. Once it's labeled as a Yontav, then there's an Issa Tainis, and then there's an Issa Tainis on the day. So that explains why this heter to the heter to eat, let's say, for chasen kala in the middle of Shivas Yemei Mishta only applies if the tannis is a nitche, if the tannis is on its correct day, so he cannot superimpose a shem yontif on the day since it's labeled as a yom evil. So l'chayre, this is only by medvar mamurim on the other fast days which are labeled as a yom evil. That's Asar B'Tevis, Shivas B'Tamus, Sam Gedalia, and Tisha B'av. Masheini Kain, Tainas Esther to begin with was never nikva as a yom evil. It's not a commemoration of tragedies, Adarab, it's a commemoration of a happy thing. The Bnei Yisrael fasted and they prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and their prayers were answered and they won. And they won in the battles against their enemies. So that's why the Rishonim use an expression that Tainas Esther is a Tainas Shal Simcha, it's not a Tainas Shal Avilus. Because the Gemara says in the first Perek in Rosh Hashanah regarding Megillas Tainas, should be assumed that Batl Megillas Tainas, Allah Batl Megillas Tainas. So the Gemara has a Machlokes Satanaim and a Machlokes Samaraim. So we paskin that Megillas Tainus was batla. All the holidays that they celebrated during the period by Sheni were all batla after the Churban by Sheni came about, except for Chanukah and Purim. So the Rishonim have a machlokes in Menachos on Daf Samach Vav. Tesis and the Shittim Kubetzis quote this machlokes, and the Tur quotes it. When you say that Lagabi Chanukah and Purim loy batla Megillas Tainus, therefore you have to celebrate Chanukah and Purim, and you're not allowed to fast on Chanukah and Purim. What about Lifnei Malachreim? What about the din that you're not allowed to fast the day before, the day after one of these Yamim Tovim that are listed in the Megillas Tainus? When you say the whole Megillas Tainus was batla, except for Chanukah and Purim, to what extent was Chanukah and Purim was batla? So it's a machlokes. And Iker Adin, we really pass from that it's mutter to fast on Erev Chanukah and Erev Purim, and the day after Chanukah and the day after Purim. V'harai, that we fast, Tainus Esther. V'harai, that we say Tachnu. We say Tachnu and Shachris on the Erev Chanukah in the morning, and Shachris on Erev Purim in the morning, unless you're a Slon and Machasid, unless you're one of these Hasidim that they don't say Tachna starting from Yud Alephan. But all normal Jews do say Tachna and Erev Purim in the morning and Erev Chanukah in the morning. You do say. So the answer is why? Because we say that only Legabi Chanukah Purim itself is Megillas Tainus of Zlot Batla. But Legabi Lifnei Machreim, so we assume that it is Batla. But the Rishonim have a machlokes about this. And some Rishonim are bothered with a kasha if one should assume that Legabi Chanukah and Purim is loy batla Megillas Tainus even with respect to Lifneim or Leachreim, and it's Mikra Adin, you're not allowed to fast on Erev Chanukah, and you don't say Tachna on Erev Chanukah in the morning, also Shachris, because loy batla Megillas Tainus Legabi Erev Chanukah also. So how can you fast, how can you have a Tainus Esther on Erev Purim? It's like a dead giveaway, obviously. The Gabi Erev Purim is Batla Megillas Tainus. So the Rishonim discuss this. The Baal HaMor talks about this in Megillah, and the Melchamis, and the Raivin, and other Rishonim. So some Rishonim point out, in the Sefer HaEshkol, he points out, and apparently this is a quotation from others before him, that the Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shal Simcha. When do you say that it's prohibited to fast on Erev Purim or Erev Chanukah, and the day after Purim, the day after Chanukah, that's if it's a Tainus Shal Avelus. But if it's a Tainus Shal Simcha, that's Mutter, and Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shal Simcha. So if you say it like that, then we understand very well why a Chosin doesn't fast, a Chosin Kala don't fast on Tainus Esther, even though it's not a Nitche, even though it's not, it won't be a Nitche, even though it's not a Mukdam. Why? Because the Yisoid HaHeter, they say that hetter for the chasen kala to eat when it is a nitche is because we label the day as yontav shalona hoya, and as such, because it's a yontav, so there's an issa to fast. And we say you cannot label a day as a yontav if it's a yom evil. So that's if the yom atainis is bismanoi, then the day is a yom evil. So you cannot superimpose the shame yom tov on the day. If the tainis is a nitche, then that day itself is not the yom evil. Yesterday was the yom evil. Today is just the day on which we fulfill the kiyum atonis, but it's not the yom chiyum atonis because it's not the yom evil. So then I can say, oh, today is labeled as a yom tov shalona hoya. If he's a bal bris or he's a chasen kala or it's a karban etzim or something like that, you say because it has a shame yom tov, so he's not allowed to fast. So that's only regarding the other tanesim which start off as being labeled for all of Kol Yisrael as a yom evil. So you can't superimpose the Shem Yontif Lagabi the Chasen Kala. Hashemi can over here by Tainus Esther, it was never labeled as a Yom Evil to begin with. Lagabi everybody else, it's also a Tainus Shal Simcha, it's not a Yom Evil. So to superimpose on the Tainus Esther the Shem Yontif Shalonu Lagabi the Chasen Kala is not a Tartar Disaster. There's no contradiction in terms to say that the day is a Tainus Shal Simcha for all of Klal Yisrael, and it's a yontif legabi dechasen kala. Fine, so it's a yontif. Once you say that the day is labeled as a yontif, so the chasen kala, not a lot of fist. It's not the same as Tisha B'Av and Asara B'Teves, that you cannot possibly label a day as a yontif shalom, or you can't label it as a yontif if it's already been labeled as a yom eivul. But over here, it's not a yom eivul to begin with. That's where Rav Soloveitchik said that there are nafkaminis ledina between Tainis Esther and the other Tanesim. The Mishnah Brura quotes Achronim that on all the Tanesim, the proper thing is that a person should be machmel, not to take a haircut. Or Rav Soloveitchik said not to get married. That's a question in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch would appear that if you are allowed to get married on a Tainis, just that you shouldn't, let's say, Asar B'Tavis. A guy wants to get married Asar B'Tavis, anything wrong. So you can't eat. But let's say, Doshtel Achup before the Shkia. There's not going to be any smorgasbord. I'll save $10,000 on the smorgasbord. We'll have just the chuppah before, and then by the time the chuppah will be over, by the time they'll go to wash, it'll already be time to eat the meal. Is there anything wrong with having a chuppah on Asar B'Teves or one of the other tanais? Tzom Gedalia, let's say. To have the chuppah on Tzom Gedalia, and then to have the meal on Metzoy Tzom Gedalia. So the Ramah writes like there's nothing wrong. The Ramah seems to say that it's okay as long as the meal is later. Sir Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's not right. He thought that that's part of the din of Avelus, that you're not permitted to have, that you shouldn't get married on a Tainus. I don't know exactly what he did with this Ramah. But the Ramah talks beferish about getting married on a Tainus. Here, the Ramah and Siman Tov Kuf Nun. Mishnah Brura talks on in Siman Tov Kuf Nun Aleph. The Mishnah Brura talks about not taking a haircut and so on, and all the Tanaisim. And here in Tov Kuf Nun, it talks about getting married. Is that a problem? So Rav Soloveitchik thought you're not allowed to get married. That's what he says. Not even allowed to get married the night before Asar B'Teves, not before Tzom Gedalia, because he thought the Tanis begins from the night before, even though the Maisim were not fasting. But with respect to all the other Nihuge Hatainas, everything's the Yom Eivul should really begin from the night before. Because the Gemara says, he gave a whole shir about this once on the Yortzeit shir, because the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, the Mikra Adin, you start saying Aneinu by Mairiv. Our meaning is that we only say Aneinu by Mincha. We don't even say Aneinu by Shachris. But Medina the Gemara says, the Ferish and the Braise said that when you dav Mairiv, Leil Hatanis, even though you're going to go home and eat supper. Saying to go home and eat supper, still you say Aneinu, because it's Yom sometime and say Aneinu. The Yom HaTonis has already entered, the Yom HaTonis has already begun with the Laila before the Yom HaTonis. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, let's say, to get married on Tainis Esther would be okay. Or to take a haircut on Tainis Esther would be okay, because you don't have to observe any Avelis over here. It's not a Tainis Shal Avelis. Other Rav, it's a Tainis Shal Simcha. He thought also that the Mishnah Brura there in Tov Kuf Nun Aleph quotes from the Achronim that Tov Kuf Nun, Mishnah Brura quotes from the Achronim, that a Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atzmo to observe all of the Chomish Inuyim on all of the Tainesim, not only on Tisha B'Av, on Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Teves. A person shouldn't bathe, and he shouldn't and he should abstain from Tashmish Amita and so on, and observe Leila Kiyoma also. They just say that as far as wearing leather shoes, that's a Dovish Al Farhesia, so it's not proper to demonstrate that one is observing Amidas Chasinus, unless he walks around in sneakers all the time. If half the year he walks around in sneakers, so then Adarama, so let him walk around in sneakers and all of the Tanaism also, not just on Tisha B'Av. There's no problem of Mechzik Yuhar. He's not demonstrating that he's observing Midas Chasidus. He walks around anywhere a lot of times with sneakers. So also they should thought that all of those Chumras, that one should try to observe all the Tanaism, like Tisha B'Av, with all the Chomish Inuim and Leila Kiyom, that only applies to the other Tanaism, which are a Tainish Al Avelis. But by Tainis Esther, which is a Tainis Shal Simcha, it was never instituted in the first place that it should have all of the Chomish Inuim. So it could be that there's no Minas Chasidus here, you have to take a bath today if a person needs a bath or a shave or a haircut. So he thought that there was no Minas Chasidus. That's why others suggested that maybe, even though it says in the Mishnah Brura that before Bar Mitzvah one doesn't volunteer Chinuch on the other Tanesim, even on Tisha B'Av there's no Chinuch, only on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah in the end of Yuma speaks about children fasting a year or two before Bar Mitzvah, a whole day, and a year or two before part of the day. But on the other Tanaisim not, so the Shagasariye, Ramosha Fashnik quotes from the Gvura Sari, by the Shagasari, says the reason why the Ketanim don't have any din of Chinuch is because we paskin that there's no Chinuch on Avelus. There's a Machlekes HaGoinim in Yerudeya, Machlekes HaRishayim, and we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Dogma Rava paskin that we assume there's no Chinuch on Avelus. So that's only by Medvar Mamorim on the other Taneisim. Tisha Balas or Betavis, some Gedal, which are Tiny or Shalavelus. For Tainus Esther, which is really a Tainus Shal Simcha. So perhaps the proper thing is that really even children before Bar Mitzvah, we should recommend also that they should fast. A year or two before Bar Mitzvah, they should fast the whole day, if they're up to it. And a year or two before that, they should fast. They should fast part of the day. What's the Iker reward that a person gets for fasting on a Tainus Tzibur? So the Gemara in the beginning of Brocha speaks about what's the Iker Schar that you get for whatever. So the Gemara says, what's the Iker Schar that you get for Agra de Kalo? Everybody comes on the Yom de Kalo when there's a big public Shia. Everybody comes and they all kvetch in together into a big room and they all pay attention to the Shia. So the Gemara assumes how many people really understand the Shia. They don't really understand. Even those who understand, they walk out, they go home, they go to sleep, they forget the whole Shia. So the Iker reward that they get is Agra de Kalo, is Duchka. They really deserve reward, not so much for the learning. They didn't really learn so much. But the main reward they deserve is for the duchka, for suffering, being in the cramped Beis HaMedrash and being uncomfortable for a couple of hours and listening to the Shia. Then the Gemara says, Agra de Behilula Mili. Apparently years ago in the days of the Gemara, and in Europe also, before the war, at weddings they used to hold long drushes. Even the Mashgichim from the Litvish Yeshivas used to learn, not only by the Ekkes, the Yeshivas also used to hold long drushes at the wedding. So that's what they did in the days of the Gemara. So the Gemara says the main reward that you get when you walk away from a wedding, Agra the Behilula, is Mili, that you hear drushes. You deserve reward for listening to the drushes, maybe for suffering through the long drushes, whatever. And the Gemara says, Agra the Taneisa Tzidkisa, the main reward that you get for fasting on any Tainus is not so much that you're fasting, big deal. So, especially in America, we all overeat, so everybody has extra, most people have extra fuel that's going to carry them over. They're not going to faint, and they're not going to be so weak. Mishgefelach, we stuffed ourselves. I was at a Shabbat Brachas last night, and we're going to eat a lot tonight, so it's a big deal. So I'm not eating a couple of meals today. The fast is soon going to be over anyway. So the Gemara says the Iker reward that you deserve for fasting, and Bizmana Gemara, they never had so much to eat anyway. So Bizmana is that people eat so much, it doesn't really make such a big deal if they don't eat for a couple of hours. Bizmana Gemara, and in Europe, they didn't have so much to eat bechlal, so they fasted a whole day. So they missed a cup of water and a few slices of bread. There wasn't so much to eat anyway. So the Gemara says, the main reward that you get for fasting on a time of sleep is tzidkisa, the fact that you give the tzedakah. That's what the Gemara insists, that it's important. Mishnah Berurah quotes that Gemara, that it's important that everybody should give tzedakah on a Tainus Tzibur. If you can afford it. If you can't afford it, you don't give tzedakah. If you don't make a living, if your parents give you an allowance, so what shach that you should give tzedakah? It's not your money to give. You're just going to make your parents give you more money, more allowance. That's not giving tzedakah on your parents' judgment. So encourage your parents that they should give the tzedakah. On Tainus Esther, there's a special minig that Ramah quotes. The minig is that you give Machtas HaShekel. This Machtas HaShekel was a big problem. The Gaonei Eretz Yisrael introduced this minig as a fundraising gimmick for the yeshivas, so that everybody should give Machtas HaShekel, because Bizman HaMikdosh, they used to give Machtas HaShekel starting from Rosh Chodesh Adar. Be'echad Yodah Mashmim Al Hashkol. They would announce that everybody should give Machtas HaShekel, and the Machtas HaShekel was used for the purpose of funding the Karbanas Tzibur, and the new money had to be used starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So a month in advance, they would start announcing that everybody should start giving their money. So this was the season of the year. Purim time is always the season of the year. Bizman HaMikdash, that they used to give Machtas HaShekel for the Karbanas Tzibur. So the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael introduced the minig that they should donate the Machtas HaShekel to the support of the yeshivas. The Goyim in Bavel were opposed to this minig that they initiated, that the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael started, because the Mishnah says in the end of Shkolim that one is mafrish karbonis bizman, it's prohibited to be magdish karbonis bizman, as a magdishin, vei marichin, vei machrimim, because you'll be boli day takola. So Gemara Navi Rezor, Daf Yud Gimel, that bizman is it's prohibited to be magdish anything, because what are you going to do with it? It's going to be hegdish, you won't be able to use it, you can't bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is chariv. So the same is true regarding, let's say, for Pesach. It says in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to say Basazel Pesach. You're not allowed to say I'm going to use this for my Pesach. It sounds like you're going to use it for the Korban Pesach. So if you're going to shecht it, people will think that you're eating Kotshim Achutz. You have to say Basazel Chagah Pesach. This place is for Yonta, but you shouldn't say this place is for Pesach. It sounds like it's a Kotshim Achutz. Sounds like it's a Korban Pesach. So the Goyim were opposed, the Goyim bubble were opposed to this new institution that the Goyim Eretz Yisrael started, because the Mishnah says in the last Mishnah Shkolim that one is mafresh machta shekel bizman hazeh, or one is mafresh bikurim bizman hazeh, it becomes nitvas, it becomes chal. And you're stuck, and you can't bring the bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, there is no Beis HaMikdash, you can't use the machta shekel for any purpose. Maybe the people are going to set aside machta shekel with the intention then should really have the kedushas machta shekel, so it'll be a problem. So the Goyim Eretz Yisrael defended their takona, they defended their institution by stating that they have a tradition that we paskin like the opinion that's quoted by the Talmud Yerushalmi on the very end of Shkolim, that that we don't paskin like that Mishnah. We paskin like Reb Shimon. There's a Shita Sayochid Reb Shimon who disagrees, and he says that Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, even if you set aside Machta Shekel with the intention of being Magdashid, it's still not Chal. So the Goni Eretz Yisrael said they had such a tradition. We followed the Yerushalmi. The Goni Bavel said they never heard of their traditions, so they were always opposed to it. So that's why the Ramah, when he writes this minig about setting aside the Machta Shekel, mentions that's in Tafresh Tzadik Dalet. So he quotes in the name of the Maharil that you should be careful, that you should say that this is only a Zechel Machta Shekel. Nobody should think that it's the real thing. You should give it Zechel Machta Shekel. Some people are very makbid about the Zechel Machta Shekel. They insist that they don't want to be yotze with giving Dafke. The Ramah has another meaning, that you give three Machta Shekels. And what's the Machta Shekel? It doesn't really correspond to what was Takke, what's a Shekel for the purposes of Pinyin Aben. You give three half a dollars. Where does that come from? That's the Ramah has that idea. We have three half a dollars. That's the Rambam understood the Mishnah like that. The Raiva disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam interprets the Mishnah in Shkolim like that, that everybody has to give Machtzis HaShekel for the purpose of the Korbanos Tzibur. And if the Matbea HaYotze Ba'isa Medina Bo Sazman, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, the Shekel, if the modern day Shekel will be so valuable that it's worth bupkis, Mr. Mahar, is that Shekel worth 30 cents? Peanuts. But if the shekel would be, let's say, under the British when they had shillings, so the shillings mustama were worth quite a few dollars after half of a shilling, if the half of the shilling would be worth more than a machtes a shekel, so the Rambam learns pshat in the Mishnah in Shkolim that you have to give a half a shilling. You have to give whichever is higher, either the machtes a shekel, shaltera, or the machtes a shilling, whatever happens to be the matbeh hayotze bo'is medina. That's how the Rambam reads Pshat and the Mishnah there. The Raiva disagrees with the Rambam by Riches. He says it's historically impossible. Doesn't make any sense. There's a long hasoga against the Rambam. He gives you a logical, he gives you a much different interpretation of the Mishnah. But that's what this Ramah is based on the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that the Machtes HaShekel, sometimes it played a role in Machtes HaShekel Gufa Bizman HaMikdash, what the Matbea was Hayotze Ba'is Medina. So that's why the minhag today is that people treat the half a dollar as a machta shekel, because the dollar in America is the matbea hayotze bo'is medina, or in any country, in any given country, the ruble, or whatever it happens to be, you give a machtis of that matbea hayotze bo'is medina. So Ramah has a minhag that you give three of those. A minhag to give, because the word in the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, it says three times truma. So you give three times machta shekel. Some are medaktik davke to give in coins. They don't want to give in paper money, because he discussed it already once, because there are those who hold, based on the Tshuvas Chasam Sefer, that paper money is not considered kesef. And the Gemara says in Chorus that for the purpose of Machta Shekel, you're only yotze the mitzvah. There is a Machta Shekel if you give kesef. Give shove kesef is no good. Even shove kesef is no good. Even shove kesef, let alone shtoris. So the Chasam Sefer has one tshuva, there are two tshuvas that seem to contradict each other. So in one place the Chasam Sefer sounds like he writes that paper money is not considered kesef, it's considered something else. It's considered shtoris, or shove kesef, whatever it is, but it's not kesef. So some want to be so insistent on maintaining the zecher l'machta shekel, so they want to make a zecher that they want to give dafke kesh. And if you hold that paper money is not kesef, like the chumra of the Chasam Sefer, so you're not yotze. So they put the dollar and a half down, and they pick up the coins of Machta Shekel that are there, and then they put it back on the plate. Nunu, I thought that would be a little, my feeling always was that that's too much. If the Ramo says, in the name of the Maharil, that you should emphasize the fact that it's not a Machta Shekel, it's only a Zechel a Machta Shekel, so to make so much Kpeda about the zeicher that you don't want to be yotze by giving dollar bills. You want to be choishish for the opinion of the Chasam Sofer that dollar bills are a shavei kesef. I thought it's a little too much. The Ramos says that anyone who's over 20 years old should give machzah shekel. What's that to anyone over 20 years old? That's what it says in Parshas Kisisa. The Ramos is assuming, like the Bar Tanure, that's how the Mishnah Brura writes in Sivkot Nehei. And Tafresh Tzadik Dalit, Sivkot Nehei, page 320, that the Bar Tanure learns Pshat in the Mishnah that a cotton is not obligated to give machzah shekel. Cotton is up until the age of 20. And after the age of 20, then is Mechuyiv Machzah Shekel. So the Mishnah Berurah says, but if you look on the Tosfos Yontif, he quotes the other Rishonim who disagree with the Bar Tanur, and they say, a kot means before Bar Mitzvah. After Bar Mitzvah, one is obligated to give Machzah Shekel. What it says in the Pasuk, from the age of 20 on, that's for the purpose of the census. In order to count how many Bnei Yisrael are, so you only count those who are over the age of 20. Kol Yotzi Latzova, because you're not allowed to draft someone at the age of 18. That's against the Halacha. You only draft someone into the army from the age of 20. That's the pasuk in the Chumash. Only from the age of 20. So if you want to know how many soldiers you have, so you have a head to count it by using machzah shekel. But for the purposes of the mitzvah machzah shekel, shebuchol shana v'shana, to fund the karbonis tzibur, so that the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Tosfos Yontif, quotes other Rishonim, who disagree with the Bar Tanur, that it really depends on Yud Gimel, it doesn't really depend on the age of 20. It depends on how there are two girsas in the Yerushalmi in Shkolim. The two girsas in the Yerushalmi, what does it say there? Whether age 13 or the age of 20. The Torah Tamima quotes on that pasuk of Mebenes Mashana Mamala, he quotes from the Sefer Besamim Rosh, which is the supposed to be the forgery of the Tshuvas HaRosh. That the fellow, that he was a clever fellow, the one who wrote this forged Tshuvas HaRosh. He came up with the Chidushim. Chidushim v'Chidushim, very original ideas. So one of his Chidushim is that since children until the age of 20 are not obligated to give Machzah Shekel, it means that they're not obligated to fund the Hakrovus Karbanos Tzibur, so they're not obligated to daven Musaf. So fine, if they want to daven Musaf, but Torah Seinu Mitzvah V'Yoyse, that's fine. Like women are not obligated to give machzah shekel, so some achronim say therefore women are not, Mishnah Berurah paskens like that, women are not obligated to daven musaf. If they want to volunteer gezuntaheipa, just like a woman cannot be the baal of tefillah for the men for musaf because she's not mechuyev to daven musaf, so the kid before the age of 20 shouldn't daven for anomen unless it's a junior congregation. They're all younger than 20, but if it's the if there's somebody older than 20. So it's not proper to send up the guy who's not yet 20 to daven for a nomad because he's not mechuyev in tefillos hamasof. This is one of the chidushim of the Kasa de Harsana. The guy who forged the Tshuvas HaRosh wrote footnotes on the bottom. So this is one of his chidushim. What did he say there was?
Did they have a din tzibur for a name?
I don't know. According to the Chiddush, could you say Chazor HaShatz? I don't know. Pashto says that you can. Pashto says the whole Chiddush is wrong. Anyway, but that's what he wants to say. Question is, when are you supposed to give this Machzah Shekel? So the different minhagim. The Mishnah Berurah says that the minig. Mishnah Berurah says, he quotes the Prima Gaon, and Minig is that you give Machzah Shekel before Minche on Tainus Esther. What's up is before Minche, the Minig used to change, different generations have changed. So he quotes the Prima Gaon, and why? That's probably based on the Gemara in the first Perek in Bava Basra, that the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Ani B'Tzedek Echazeb Banecha. Ani B'Tzedek Echazeb Banecha, Ezba B'Hokit Tzmunasecha. So the Gemara understands what it means is that you give tzedakah first and then you daven. So since the Gemara in Brachas says on davar, agav the taneisa tzidkus, so that the main reward on the tainus tzibur you get from giving the tzedakah, and the main tefillos hatainus is really the mincha. That's why the kriyas hatorah is really by mincha. We lay by chal in the morning, so the Bir Agro writes in Hilchas Tainus that that's only a minik hagoyim. Really, medina the Gemara, you don't lay by chal in the morning. This morning is Monday morning, so you had to learn Kriyas HaTorah. But Medina de Gemara, we really should have learned this morning Parshas Kisisa, the Parshas HaShavua, because let's say if the Tainus would have fallen out on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday, Medina de Gemara, you don't learn at all in the morning, just learn by Mincha. That's why even when you learn by Chala in the morning, you don't learn the HaFtorah, because the HaFtorah is only when the Chachamim, when the Gemara was Misakin, the Gemara is only Sakin by Mincha. how can you lane a Kriyas HaTorah that you're not mechuyif to lane? Shouldn't it be a brachas levatola? You're saying Birchas HaTorah. Everybody gets an aliyah. Already said Birchas HaTorah in the morning when they woke up before they started davening. So what they say Birchas HaTorah today, there's no problem. It's a yom sheni v'chamishi. You lane Kriyas HaTorah anyway. But let's say if Tainus Esther would be on some other day, so how can you lane Kriyas HaTorah to Shachris if there's no takanas chachamim? So the Netziv talks about this in his Tshuvas. He has a chiddush. He says that any day on which there's a takanas Kriyas HaTorah, you can lane twice. You can lane whatever you want. You can lane something else, and you can lane another time, and it won't be a bracha levatol. You take out a sefer Torah on a regular Tuesday. That's not Purim and it's not Tainus Esther, and you just lane around a regular Sunday. That was the Shaila. Somebody had they completed a Sefer Torah and they were making a Hachnasa Sefer Torah to a shul in Chicago on a Sunday when everybody had off from work on a Sunday. So the people decided, let's make Kriyas HaTorah. So they opened up the Sefer Torah and they were auctioning off the aliyahs and making kibbutim and shaberet and everything. And then other people said, what are you doing? Stach HaBrocha LeMatola? What did you say? Kriyas HaTorah on a plain Sunday? So they had a machlokes in town, so they sent to Shaila. I don't know why. They sent to Shaila to the Netziv. Maybe they were all Litvaks. I don't know. Maybe they all learned in Valozhin. Why did they send to Shaila to the Netziv in Valozhin? I don't know. How's it? So the Netziv has a tshuva in the Meshiv Dover about that. To the community of Chicago, he says that he holds that it's wrong, that they said Brachas Levatol. He says if it would have been on Monday or Thursday, a day on which there is a Takonis Kriyas HaTorah, so even if everybody already heard Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, if they want to take out a Sefer Torah and lane again, lane something else, gizuntahe, that's not a bracha levatol, because you're fulfilling the takanas chachamim as many times as you lane on a yom sheyesh bo kriya. But on a yom sheyesh bo kriya, he holds that would be a bracha levatol. Good kasha. That's a very good kasha. I don't know. You have to look in the Tshuvas Meshiv Dover. That's an interesting kasha. Maybe if Melech Hatchili start a separate minyan to lane again a second time, so whoever doesn't want, there's no problem of Hefsid Bitul Melocha. I don't know. It's an interesting kasha. The Rambam writes in Siman Tovreish Tzadikei that one should wear Big Day Shabbos V'yontif B'leil Purim and B'yom HaPurim. It's not proper to wear Big Day Chol on Purim. Mishneh Berurah points out a lot of people don't know that. Mm-hmm. Mishneh Berurah points out that a lot of people like to have their own Megillah, or the Balkari has a Megillah. A lot of people like to have their own Megillah to look along. So the Mishneh Berurah points out that there is a problem that you're not permitted to touch a chumash with your bare hands. The Gemara quotes in the end of Megillah, the last half of Megillah, as well as many other places, the statement of Rav Parnach, one of the Amoraim. The Rav Parnach says, "Oicha Sefer Torah Orum Nigbar Orum." One who touches the Sefer Torah with his bare hands will be Nigbar Orum, will be buried naked. The Gemara says, "Chevik Adish, you're going to punish him so much, bury him naked. What's the biggest avera? Avolashis, you don't bury the man naked. Amachal Shabbos, you don't bury him naked. The guy can touch the Sefer Torah." Mar says, no, Orem Yoysa Mitzvah, that he will, when he was learning, he was Mevaza the Sefer Torah by holding on to the cloth with his own bare hands, so he will not get reward for learning in the Sefer Torah. If you Mevaza, if you do the Avera being Mevaza the Torah at the time that you're learning, so then you don't get Schar for that Mitzvah. That's how the Gemara interprets. So the Beis Yosef in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah quotes a Machlekes to Rishonim whether that prohibition, Hoiches Sefer Torah, Orem Nigbar Orem, does it only apply to the Sefer Torah? Does it also apply to Nevi'im Uksuvim? The Gemara says it's to prevent people from touching the Sefer Torah Orim with the bare hands that the Chachamim made, that the Tanoim instituted a din that when you touch Kisvei HaKodesh, it's Metamei Se'adayim. So the din that Kisvei HaKodesh and Metamei Se'adayim is not restricted only to Sefer Torah, that applies to Nevi'im Uksuvim as well. So the simple mashmoyos of the Gemara is that this prohibition, Rav Parnach's prohibition, that you're not allowed to touch the Sefer Torah Orim, applies equally to Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, doesn't only apply to Sefer Torah. But the Beis Yosef quotes one opinion that it only applies, he quotes an anonymous Rishon HaKesavya, that it only applies to Sefer Torah, doesn't apply to Nevi'im Uksuvim. But that wouldn't be enough to be makel to touch the Megillah with your bare hands. The problem is the Megillah doesn't have an Eitz Chaim. So you have to wear gloves. You have to wear gloves when you read the Megillah. So the Mishneh Berurah quotes, the Rambam quotes all of this in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. Grad. It's not here in Hilchus Megillah, it's in Hilchus Kriyas HaTorah. So the Ramah quotes a Mordechai in the first perek in Shabbos, where the Gemara talks about Tumas Haidayim. So there's a Shverish Tikala Gemara that Tosis has tremendous difficulty with. Tosis is Miyashiv, the Pshat in the Gemara, Bekoshi Gogol. And the Mordechai gives a simple interpretation to that Gemara. The simple meaning of the Gemara is that if a person washes Tumas Haidayim with a cup, like you wash for bread, if you wash Tumas Haidayim with a cup to remove Tumas Haidayim before you want to handle the Sefer Torah, then it's mutter to touch the parchment to the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. Then you don't have to wear gloves. So Tosis doesn't hold like that. Tosis did not understand the Gemara like that. That's why they had a hard time with that Gemara. But still the Mordechai holds like that. So the Ramah says that this is sort of a Svek Sveke. We would rely on this Svek Sveke regarding Nevi'im Uksuvim. That if a person wants to touch a cloth of a Navi Uksuvim, a Megillas Esther, with his bare hands, if he washes until he's a dime with a cup in advance, then we would be makel based on a Svek Svek. Maybe the din is like the Mordechai in the first parak in Shabbos. Whenever you wash until it's a dime, you're even permitted to touch the parchment of the Sefer Torah. And even though we clearly do not follow that Mordechai, but still, maybe the din is like the other opinion that the Beis Yosef quoted, that on Nevi'im Ksuvim there never was a prohibition in the first place. So that's the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah writes that that's the minig lahokel or lahachmer, however you'll call it, to wash until it's a dime in advance before you touch the cloth of the Megillah. But if you don't wash your hands, Taka, it's not permissible to touch the cloth of the Megillah. They say the prohibition of touching the Tumas Haidayim is to prevent people from touching with their bare hands. But the reason why the Chachamim wanted to prohibit people from touching with their bare hands is because Yadayim, Stam Yadayim, Askani Yisayim. The hands are dirty, he touched all the dirt in the street and everything, but if he washed his hands in advance, so then the hands are clean, so then there's nothing wrong with touching a Sefer Torah. The only thing that's wrong is to touch with Yadayim, Askani, with filthy hands. The Tamid will still be Mitamis Ayadayim if you touch the Sefer Torah, but the reason for the prohibition doesn't apply, so the prohibition doesn't apply. That's what the Svek Svek is based on. I saw in the Shibboli Haleket, he comments on it. There is a Gemara in Megillah where the Gemara says, we have an issue of Trei Koli La Mishtami. So the Gemara says, when the Balkari is laning, or the Miturgamon is giving the Tirgum, you should only have one person say the Targum, or one person lay. Hashayini came. No, let's go again. The Gemara says like this. When you're saying, but here, Shofar, you should only have one person blow Shofar. Yeah. But by Halal, or by Megillah, by Halal and by Mikra Megillah, since it's, I did the Chaviva lay, since it's a cheerful thing that we don't say, we only lay the Megillah on Purim, all year long we don't lay the Megillah, so people are, very excited about Mikra Megillah, about reciting Halal is only on Shalosh Regalim. We don't recite Halal so often. So therefore, the Gemara says, Yavi Daitai, people will pay attention. And even if you have Trei Koli, he's paying attention to one of them, so there's no problem of Trei Koli Lamishtam. So I thought Pashup Shat and that Bryce and Megillah simply meant by Kriyas HaTorah all year long, and by the Meturgaman all year long by Kriyas HaTorah. I thought that's the Pashup Shat. You say Trei Koli Lamishtam. I don't understand how the Shibboleth Haleket says from that Gemara you see beferish that they on Purim when they read the Megillah they used to have a Meturgaman translate the Megillah. You look in the Gemara, I don't see who says that it's talking about Purim. It's a Braisa that talks about it. It says Bahalo the Megillah ain't okay. Halal is not on Purim. You don't say Halal on Purim. I looked through the whole Shibboleth Haleket, I couldn't find anybody who says say Halal on Purim. No, the Gemara says you don't say Halal on Purim. It's beferish in the Gemara, you don't say Halal on Purim. So just like Halal is not talking about Purim, what prompted him to learn? He quotes Rishonim and says Rabbeinu Yishai, something like that. You see from that Gemara that they used to have a Meturgamon translating every pasuk by pasuk, translating the Megillah Esther. He says, if this Gemara is a raya against the prevalent minhag that they had for a few hundred years, that when you lay in the Megillah, the Balkari should bedavka not stop at the Sof pasuk. He should pause in the middle of the pasuk, get a little air. Breathe in a little bit and then continue the Sof Pasuk to the middle of the next Pasuk. He should ruin all the Sof Pasukim. So he says he doesn't understand what that meaning is all based on, but whatever it's based on, it's against the Gemara. Because how is it possible to have a Meturgamon? You're going to have all the whole story is going to be lopsided. What's the Meturgamon going to say? He's going to say, the end of one pasuk, beginning of the next pasuk. The Meturgman has to translate every pasuk separately. So Tainus from the Gemara is mashma that they never had such a minig. What taka is that minig based on? That you should go from the end of a pasuk to the beginning of a pasuk. So I thought I saw in Rishonim and in Achronim that minig was based on the fact that it's Nikris Igeris. Megillah says the Nikris Seifim and Nikris Igeris. And that's the reason why our minig is that the Balkore folds open the whole Megillah like an Igeris, not like a Sefer Torah. They quote that there were different minhagim among the Gaonim. Some Gaonim laying the Megillah like a Sefer Torah. They had it rolled up. They didn't fold the whole thing up. And other Gaonim said, no, that we lay it like an Igeris, and that's the more common practice today. That's our practice today. The Cheinika. That's what he writes over here in Simen Kuf Tzadik Ches, that the prevalent minhag today is like those Gaonim, that you lay it like an Igeris. I thought that was the reason why you lay all the time from the middle of a pasuk to the middle of the next pasuk. You don't end but at a certain pasuk because Nikra Sigeris. He doesn't give that reason. He quotes the Ibn Ezra in his commentary on Megillah Esther, gives a different reason, which I'm not sure exactly. I didn't have a chance to look up the Megillah Esther. He says, the Ibn Ezra kasa beferish Esther, babush Ezra asayfer hipsik hapsukim velohoya ach hashanim rabos. Something missing here. So originally when the Megillah Esther was composed, our tradition has it that the story of Esther happened in the middle of the 7 years of Golda's Bavel. And the Megillah Esther was only incorporated, he assumes, into the Tanakh later. In the days when Esther said, Kisfuni Ladaris, incorporate me into the Tanakh, that's not what it means. So he seems to assume that it was Ezra Sofer who incorporated Megillah Esther into the Tanakh. And until the days of Ezra Sofer, there was no concept of Psukim. Why not? Sentences. You write English. Ezra Sofer is not alive anymore. When you write English, you have sentences. When you write Hebrew for the Beis Yitzchok, you have sentences. No, some people don't have. Some people don't write sentences. So he writes that the institution of Psukim, a Sofer Pasuk, was made by Ezra Achahar Bishanim Rabbis. So therefore, Tzivu Chachomim Zatzal, Shelo Yapsa Kakore B'Sofer HaPasuk, Shelo Yapsa Kakore B'Sofer B'Davke, not to pause at the end of the Pasuk. Why? He lived in Rome, and he says that's Taka the Minig. That was the Minig for hundreds of years, apparently. The Dafka not to stop at the end of the Pasuk. Why? But Ezra did institute the Psukim. I don't understand what he says. Anyway, I don't see how he got the Mashmah. It's Kosar Rabbeinu Yishai Zatzal, and the Gemara's Mashmah that they used to say Targum in the middle of Megillah Esther. I don't see how there's a Mashmah just because it's in the middle of Maseches Megillah. Echad kori ve'echad metargim. Mabat shalai echad kori shnai metargim. Mahal v'megila afilo asar kori masar metargim. That's why. Because the last line. U'bahal v'megila afilo asar kori masar metargim. Oh, so the Brisa says before that there was targum on halal. You got to say either one or the other or both. That there was a targum either on halal or on megillah or on both. It's just as awkward to have a tirgum in the middle of Hallel. Okay, the last line, Ataka says b'feirish. I didn't realize. Ubahalo b'megillah afilo asara korim asara mitargimin. So it says b'feirish. Even when you say the targum on the Hallel and on the Megillah, you can have asara. Yes, so that's Ataka b'feirish in the Gemara. I made a mistake. Then the Shibole Haleket quotes the Mishnah in the Megillah. That has a contrast between Kriyas HaTorah as opposed to Mikra Megillah. Kriyas HaTorah should be Me'umad, and Mikra Megillah is Me'yushav. Now, what exactly does it mean Kriyas HaTorah is Me'umad? It means the whole Tzibur should stand during Kriyas HaTorah? That's not so. The Maharam Rutenberg used to stand during Kriyas HaTorah, but he said it wasn't Mikra Adin, it was just Midas Chassidus that he had. He didn't insist that Balabatim and the Shul should stand. So the theory is like that. He was the only one who stood, and he felt that it doesn't pose a problem of Chavilos Chavilos. It doesn't pose a problem of agudas, let's go to do. He's standing here, there's a sitting. They understood that he's the rabbi and he feels closer to the Sefer Torah. He feels he loves the Torah more, and he wanted to stand that Kavod HaTorah. They're not mechuyif, din is not mechuyif. So what does it mean that by Kriyas HaTorah you have to stand? So the Pashtus, it goes on the Balkari, it doesn't go on the Tzibur. And it says, Masheni came to Mikra Megillah, that by Mikra Megillah you don't have to stand. So even the Balkari doesn't have to stand. So the Rishonim, the Rambam says, when you're laning biyachid, when you're laning, you're a private laning. When you're laning b'tzibu, you should stand out of kavod atzibu. But It's only out of Kovod HaTziba. By Kriyas HaTorah, the Baal Kori has to stay Medina. More chomer than Kovod HaTziba. By Kriyas HaMegillah, the Baal Kori only stands out of Kovod HaTziba if there's a minyan. And if you lay B'yochid, you don't even have to stand. That's the way it seems in the Gemara. Come the Goyim, and they say that even though that's what it says in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, that you can sit for Mikra Megillah, the Goyim have a tshuva that he quotes here in Kuf Tzadik Ches, that you have to stand for Tkiyas Shofar or not. So we know, we stand for Tkiyas on Rosh Hashanah. So the Goyim said, Hachin Chazina, we have the following tradition, that there are seven mitzvahs that the practice is that everybody stands for Duchening, for Hallel, for Shofar, for Lulav, Kriyas HaTorah, Megillah, Sfiras HaEmor. So some of these we're very familiar with. Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim, the Pashtus of the Gemara is that you have to stand Medina. Kriyas HaTorah is the Gemara, Sfiras HaEmor we know, but this Mikra Megillah, this is one of the seven. This is all a package deal. So he quotes the Goyim saying, even though it's Apagav Tisnan, HaKoris HaMegillah, Amid V'yoyishev Yotza, that's only B'dievid. You learn it from Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah Gufa, you don't have to stand. Only the Baal Kori stand. Very, very strange. That's what he writes. That the more correct in the days of the Goyim, the more correct practice was that they used to stand for all of these seven mitzvahs, and one of the seven mitzvahs is the Mikra Megillah. This is not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch though. Shulchan Aruch, they say there's absolutely nothing wrong. Only the Baal Kori should stand if he's laying Basara. But the Tzibur doesn't say. We don't have that many. Tziba doesn't have to stand. The only shaila is, what about during the reciting of the brachas? You have to stand for the brachas. So I don't remember when I was a little boy till I came to the big city, till I came to the yeshiva in New York. I don't remember anybody standing for the brachas of Mikra Megillah. The Mishnah Berurah is the one who made this Machtos HaShekel popular. There's a commentary printed on the bottom of the page, a commentary on the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is written very cryptic, safer. Magen Avraham is very hard to understand. He has epis ramazim. He tells you, look over here, look over there. He doesn't always tell you what he wants. So the Machtos HaShekel had to write a commentary to explain what he's alluding to. The Prima Gaudim has a long commentary on the Magen Avraham to explain. So every so often, the Machtos HaShekel goes into his own original things, not explaining the Magen Avraham. So the Machtos HaShekel has a comment that by the Birchas HaMegillah, everybody has to stand, as the Magen Avraham wrote in Simen Ches, that when it comes to reciting Birchas HaMitzvah, it has to be recited by Midah. So he says, even though only the Baal Kori stands during Mikra Megillah and the Tzibah sits, but when the Baal Kori is saying the Brachas, everybody should stand because all Birchas HaMitzvah should be recited by Midah. Now, Tzvi Pesach Frank has an essay about this in his Sefer, in his Tshuvas, he has in his Tshuvas, and he quotes the Pnei Yeshua in Megillah, who says, otherwise, he says, the only time you have to stand for reciting of a bracha of a mitzvah is such a mitzvah where the practice is that you stand, let's say here. Our meaning is that we stand for Sfiras HaOmer, our meaning is that we stand for Tkiya Shofar, so you should stand for the bracha preceding Tkiya Shofar, for the bracha preceding Netilas Lulam, for the bracha preceding Sfiras HaOmer. But if the minig is, if the common practice is that you sit for Mikra Megillah, why should the Birchas HaMitzvah recited prior to Mikra Megillah be more common than the Mikra Megillah itself, that you should say you have to stand for the bracha? That's what I remember. I, unless I'm mistaken, I seem to remember that I don't remember anybody ever standing till I came to New York, and here everybody used the Mishnah Berurah. So in the yeshiva they all stand. The Ramor writes comments on the.
That only be the person that's before, not the Rambam.
That's a question. What about the bracha after? Birchas HaShevach are also supposed to be recited by Midah. Also, Birchas HaNenin, you don't recite by Midah. Birchas HaNenin, you recite the yeshiva. Machtos
HaShevach is burnt afterwards also?
I don't remember. I gotta take a look. The bracha after is a Birchas HaShevach. I think it goes on all the brachas. I think he's referring to all the brachas. I don't know. The Gemara says that the Mishnah says that the bracha that you recite following the Mikra Megillah is not really a chiyuv. The three brachas that you recite before Mikra Megillah, that's a chiyuv. It doesn't depend on the minig ha-makom. But the bracha that you say after Rabbis Yerivenim, Adonis Zinenim, etc., that depends on the minig ha-makom. Makom shenaga levarech yivarech, makom shenaga shelo levarech. Lo yivarcha. Our minig is that we do say these brachas, but the Ramo comments that our minig only is that you say the bracha Harabas Rifeinu, only Bitzibur, not the Yochid. And then there are more quotes in Machlekes, two opinions in the tour, whether women are mitztarfim to the Tzibur for the purpose of Mikra Megillah Basara. Lachatchili should have Mikra Megillah with a minion, Shum Pisa Minisa. So what if 10 women are going to lay in the Megillah? 5 men and 5 women. Is that considered Basara, or the women are not mitztarfim? So that's a Machlekes in the tour. And the Ramah says that we treat it like a Sveikah Adina. So if you put two and two together, according to the Ramah, let's say if you only have 5 men and 5 women, you have 9 men and 1 woman who are listening to Mikra Megillah, the Ramah would say that you shouldn't say the bracha at the end, Harabas Rivenu, because he claims that you only say this bracha when you fulfill Mikra Megillah, Bitzibur, Basara. And it's a Sveikah Adina, whether women are mitztarfim to the Asara or not. The Bir Agro disagrees with this Ramah, that he says that you don't say the bracha Harabas Rivenu Biyochid. The Bir Agro says that this is based on the Yerushalmi, but it's a misunderstanding of the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is talking about Birchas HaTorah, that you don't say when you get an Aliyah, you say a Shabbach HaBonah before, and you say the Bracha Shanasa Lanu after. You have to say a Bracha Shalachreho on Kriyas HaTorah. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says you only say the Bracha Shalachreho by Kriyas HaTorah, Shanasa Lanu Teres Emes, after Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, after B'Yochid you don't. Let's say a person learned the whole day, and then he's ready to go to sleep at night after learning a whole night based manish. He doesn't say the bracha of Shanasa Lanu Teres Emes. There is no bracha shalachreh for learning biyochid, only bitzibah. But for Kriyas HaMegillah, the Vilna Gaon Tainis, he should say the bracha afilu biyochid. But I saw the Shabbala Aleke writes a davar pashut like that. He says that the minig all over Klal Yisrael that you say the bracha before and after afilu biyochid. He doesn't even make an issue, he's making a different issue. There's a machlekes Rav Ravasi in the Gemara in the beginning of Megillah and Daf Hey when the Mikra Megillah has to be Basara. So there's a machlekes of Rishonim how you pass him, but you pass him like Rav, who says that you don't need a minyan. You pass him like Ravasi, who says that you do need a minyan. So the Shabbat Aleka writes, it's a minyan all over Klal Yisrael that we lay in the Megillah even without a minyan, and we say the brachas. So it's a proof that it's not a suffix, it's a vaday that you hear to the mitzvah. You say the bracha before and the bracha after, and no shaylan. He doesn't even write it as a chiddush. You say the bracha after the mikra megillah, even though there's not many. It's a davar pashut, just like you say the bracha before. You say the bracha after. But I think, at least by most Ashkenazim, the meaning clearly is that you don't say the bracha shalachreha unless you have a minyan. The question: why should it be so? It's a bracha in connection with the mikra megillah. The Dor HaShulchan has a suggestion. He says that maybe we treat it like a Birchas HaGomel. Just like a Birchas HaGomel, you have to say Bo Asara. So maybe this also. Whatever, that's how the Ramo says. Dor HaShulchan says the whole Bracha Shalachreo is only totally in the Minig HaMokam. The Mishnah says Mokam Shenaga Levarach Yivarchu, Mokam Shenaga Shalal Levarach Lo Yivarchu. So he says since for a few hundred years we have been Noig like the Ramo, so it's a Mokam Shenaga Shalal Levarach. If you're going to lay the Megillah B'Yachid, so the minig is that you don't say the bracha. So the minig is you don't say the bracha, so you shouldn't say Ma'akum Shinaga Shalal Levarach La Yivarach. Many Rishonim seem to have had, I saw the Shibbolei Aleket, and other Rishonim have the Nusach HaBracha Shasim Nisun Alaseinu Vayamim Hahem Ubazman Azeh. A whole different shot. That's how the Rambam also has the gear. It doesn't. They don't understand that it means Bayamim Vahim Bazman Azeh. At this season of the year, Hashem did Nisim in the floors to our forefathers many years ago. Bayamim Vahim at this season of the year. No, they say Bayamim Vahim U Bazman Azeh. Hakadosh Baruch Hu does Nisim in the floors. He did Nisim in the floors for our forefathers years ago. Bayamim Vahim, and he continues to do Nisim in the floors for us. U Bazman Azeh as well. It's a whole different understanding of the Nusach HaBracha. The Ramah makes a big fuss about observing Minhagim in Hilchas Purim. He writes, even though the Minig is a little bit questionable, that men wear dresses. And there's a chash shailav liyildash gevesim lasishom. And you clap hum on. When you clap hum, you make noise in the middle of the Mikra Megillah, so you may miss a word, so you have to be careful not to. So even though there's what to object about it, if it can be established that it's a Minig Vasikin, the Ramok feels that these are Minig Vasikin, that these had the approval of Hasid and Vanshe Maises, so then you're permitted to continue observing the Minhag. It's not a Minig that you're not sure who started it, who approved of it, if it's not a minig vasikin, said they're not. But if you know that it was a minig that was approved by tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim, then you're permitted to observe it, even though it's a little bit questionable. The question, the problem is that the way people clap homa now, it's not just a little questionable, they make so much noise. Imamish miss half of the Megillah, so the Balkari and the Yeshiva has to lane over again. What do you do by the Balabatim? You can't make the Balkari lane over again. The Balabatim are not gonna pay attention to the second Kriya. It's a problem. So that's where Rav Henkin recommended to have an Ezra's Torah Luach. Rav Henkin recommended we should all adopt the Sfardish and Minik, that the Shabbali Aleket and others write, that they would clap Haman in the middle of Shoshanas Yaakov, not in the middle of the Mikra Megillah. When you say the Piyutim after the Mikra Megillah is all over, they say Arura Arur Haman, say clap Haman, Arura Zeresh, say clap Zeresh, make all the noise you want in the middle of the Piyutim, and not in the middle of the Mikra Megillah. Hankin always had very down to earth common sense recommendations. Most of his recommendations that made so much sense were never accepted, but maybe you should reconsider.
How about using a loudspeaker or a microphone?
It's a question if you use, if you have an electrical appliance that amplifies the. If you just go like this, so you have a megaphone, something like that, but that's not a problem. So you just succeeded in making the voice louder. But if you have the voices, the sound waves are converted into electrical energy, then it's reconverted back into sound waves. So that's a big shaila. So Rav Moshe writes about that. That he disagreed with the Chazon Ish. He says he can't understand it all. How can you say that that's called Shmias HaKol? It was converted into electric energy, then it was converted back into sound waves. So that was at Shmias HaKol. But when they raised the issue, Rabbi Yosef Engel, who raised the issue before Rabbi Yosef Engel died almost 100 years ago, when he raised the issue in his Sefer, on brachas and the Goyoni Hashem, so he understood what it meant, converted into electrical energy, converted back into sound waves, and still he was misupik, maybe it is good. I thought Rav Shlomo Zalman was right. I don't understand either. How can it be that that's called Shmias HaKol? The din is that you have to hear the Megillah in order. If you Hakorei Lamafreya Lo Yotza, that's the name of the perek in Maseches Megillah. Hakorei Lamafreya. If you lay out of order, so what do you do if a guy walks into the Mikra Megillah, he just comes in 1 minute late, and the Balkari already finished the first pasuk? So what does he do? So the Mishnah Berurah gives you the following Eitzah Tova: let him quickly recite the three brachas, and then let him say the first pasuk or two psukim from a printed chumash. If he does, he walk over to the Balkari also say from the klaf. But even if he doesn't, let's say he'll lay in the first couple of psukim from the printed chumash, and then he'll read from the printed chumash up until the point where the Balkari is up, and then he'll read the rest. He'll hear the rest of the Kriyas HaTorah from the Balkari. Because the Mishnah Berurah says this, because the Gemara says that although if you lay in the Megillah Balpeh lo yotze yidei chavasa, but the Gemara says beferish, all you have to have is that Reiv of the Kriyas HaMegillah is heard mitoch haksav. As long as less than 50% is done Balpeh, more than 50% is done mitoch haklav, so that's good. You say ruba kukuloi. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes some achrayim who had an objection to this. He quotes some achloikis achrayim, but I think he's noted to say that it is good. He quotes some and said like this: the Gemara says if you're missing words or lines here and there in the Megillah, it's okay ad ruba, as long as more than 50% is nichtav and less than 50% is missing. The Pashto says he can even lane from that Megillah. So you see that this din of Ad Rubai has two halachas to it. Number one, it's a din in the Hechsher HaMegillah. If Roiv of the Megillah is Biksav, so this is a kosher Megillah, has Kedushas Torah Shebichsav. And number two, it's a din in the Kriya. That the Kriya has to be Meter HaKsav, so I say Ruba Kekula on the Maisa Kriya. As long as Roiv of the Kriya was done Meter HaKsav, that's sufficient. So now the Rishonim add on to the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that if the Rishonim have arrived from the Gemara. There's a machlokes HaTanaim, how much of the Megillah you have to lane. So we pass him from the beginning to the end. But other Tanaim hold, you don't have to lane so much. You can start from a later point, different opinion. So the Gemara, even if you hold like that opinion, You only have to start from Lailahu Damdashnas HaMelech or from whatever pasuk is the beginning of the Ikka story of the Megillas Esther. Like this week we're going to lay from Parshas Kisisa, but you can't just have a cloth that has Parshas Kisisa. You have to have a cloth that has the whole Sefer Torah. So here also for Mikra Megillah purposes, some Tanoim hold, we don't pass like them, some hold that you don't have to lay in the whole Megillah, but you have to have an entire Megillah there, and then lay in from the second parak, from the third parak. So the Rishonim ask Akasha, why do you have to have the entire Megillah? The part that you're going to lay in has got to be more than 50%. So if less than 50% of the Megillah is missing, the din is that it's good. So if you're missing the first four chapters, so what's so bad? The rov of the Megillah is written. So lein balpeh, and then just make sure that more than 50% you'll be leining. Mitar haksa. What does it bother me that the first four chapters are missing in the Megillah? But I have rov of the Megillah is biksav. So the Rishonim answer, not Gemara, you see this quote in Shulchan Aruch, that even if you're missing here and there, as long as rov of the Megillah is nichtav, is kosher, if you're missing inyan shalom is no good, or if you're missing chilos of the seifa, if you're missing either the beginning or the end, is no good. That's what the Rishonim said. So now the Mishnah Berurah quotes some who wanted to argue the point and say that not only is that a din if you're missing chiloso or sofo, it's no good. Not only is that no good, benegeya to the klaf of the Megillah, it's even so benegeya to the kriya. If you lay the kriya balpet chiloso or sofo, so it'll be no good. The chilasa Megillah and the sofa Megillah have to have the kriya mitachaksa. And it's nice to say that doesn't make any sense. I remember many years ago here in the yeshiva we had a machlokes about that. A guy came in late and he knew what it said in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, so he said the three brachas and he read the first pasuk from a printed Megillah, and then he listened to the Balkari for the rest, and after the whole Megillah lighting was over, then he told us what he did. So at that time none of the rabbanim in the yeshiva had known the Mishnah Berurah. Nobody had ever learned Mishnah Berurah. So we had a big machlokes. So I thought that he was Yotze. Rabban Lichtenstein was screaming he wasn't Yotze because Chilos of the Seifai. And I held that Chilas of the Sof only applies to the text of the Megillah. It doesn't apply to the Kriya Balpeh. So a few years later, my wife had a baby right before Purim. And I had to take along some literature to read in the hospital. So I took the Mishnah Berurah, Hilchos Purim. That was the first time I ever found that this Machlokes was already a Machlokes Achreinim. The Mishnah Berurah already quoted. Maybe a generation. But I think the Mishnah Berurah is noted to say that it is good. There's no problem of Chilas of the Sofai in the Kriyas HaMegillah Balpeh, in the beginning of the end. It's just a problem in the text of the Megillah. If it's missing Chilasa, missing Seifoi, so then it's not a kosher Megillah. But if the whole Megillah has everything, I just walked in late, and I'm going to say the brachas quickly, and I'm going to read the first pasuk or two from a printed Megillah, and I'm going to listen to the rest from the Balkari. So the Megillah that he's learning from is a perfect Megillah, just that my Kriya, the Chilas HaKriya, was Balpeh. So that's okay. As long as it's going to be less than 50%, it's going to be Balpeh. It's fine. Same thing if you miss a word or two here and there because of clapping homens, and make sure you say it on your own. And make sure that you say all the words in order. So you heard from the Balkari, you might say the Kriya has to be Kisidra, it can't be Lamafreya. So whatever you heard from the Balkari is good, then you should say whatever you missed in the middle, then listen to the Balkari, laying the rest after you fill in the missing words. On Shabbos by the Suda, we had an entertaining explanation as to why the minig in America is that we drink on Leil Purim. It was very entertaining, but still I wouldn't recommend. We really paskin, you're not yotze anything. In fact, I don't think it's hard to determine what's called the minig. I don't think the minig was to drink in America until Rabbi Huttner started in Chaim Berlin. Rabbi Huttner and Chaim Berlin wanted to make the boys proud of the fact that they're learning Torah. So he used psychology. He knew a lot of good psychology. So he made them do things that were very different from everybody else. So he made them a lot of unusual, a lot of strange things. That they shouldn't feel self-conscious until his time. People felt, those who are interested in learning, felt as if there's something wrong with them. So he said, you just go with your tzitzis out, and you just do whatever you want, and you just show everybody that you're the boss, that there's nothing wrong with you. I think this minig, just a recent minig that just started within the last 50 years in Chaim Berlin, that everybody gets so drunk both in Purim night and Purim in the daytime, it wasn't always so. I don't know what it was in Europe. I don't know, but in America, I don't think it was so years ago. Nishmachoyev, He mentioned that the Rabbein Ephraim holds that there's no mitzvah to drink on Purim, because the Gemara quotes the story that one of the Chachamim killed the other one. So the moral of the story is that there's no mitzvah to drink on Purim. And even though so many other Rishonim disagree with the Rabbein Ephraim, but the Rishonim do say that if you're concerned that you may not be able to control yourself, you may get killed in an accident. People were killed. People were killed on Purim, driving cars when they were drunk. So if you may get into an accident, or you may throw up and be mazik somebody else, or you may get sick, so daf minish. A person should, they may make a chil Hashem. If he may make a chil Hashem, so the aver chil Hashem is worse than the whole mitzvah of drinking on Purim. If a person is going to be home in his own home for Purim, and he has his own bed, so okay, so he should drink, and then he should go to sleep in his own bed. But if he's eating Suda's Purim over there, then he's going to walk back to the Navatar. It's a 15-minute walk. I don't know if it makes sense that he should get so drunk that he won't be able to control himself. Probably not. The Rishonim, even the Rishonim hold that most of the Rishonim hold that there is a mitzvah to get drunk on Purim. It's only in the daytime, in the middle of the Suda, the Pashtus is. That's what Adavala pointed out. He mentioned that's what Adavala pointed out. And the Rambam says that on Purim there's a chiyuv Suda. And the Suda has to have basa the yayin, it has to have a lot of yayin, ad yoda, ad she yeirodin. Some say you have to have dafke flesh, you're not yotze with chicken, it has to have dafke basar, sar behema, not psaroi, machlokes, on yontif, whether you're yotze sudas yontif, simchas yontif, if you have psaroi, or you have to have dafke basar behema. But all mitzvah should be done in a bekovedige fashion. The mitzvah to get drunk on Purim is also a mitzvah, it should be done in a bekovedige fashion. Yeah, you should drink a little more than you usually drink. Yoseme limuda, just that he holds not ad lo yoda. Avari. Kriyas HaTorah on Purim morning. I thought it's only with wine. I thought it's based on the Megillah Esther. I thought you only yotze with wine. On Purim morning, we lay in Kriyas HaTorah. It's an unusual thing. It only has 9 psukim. So Tosfos quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Mechaber says you have to lay over the last pasuk to make it into 10. Because the Gemara says in Megillah, you can never have a Kriyas HaTorah that consists of less than 10 psukim. You can never have an aliyah that consists of less than 3 psukim. So if you need 3 aliyahs, 3 times 3 is 9. So you really should say that it's sufficient. Kriyas HaTorah should be sufficient with 9 psukim. So the Gemara says no. A unit of Kriyas HaTorah has to have a minimum of 10 psukim. So what do you do for the morning? The Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, Shalom in Yona. That's the whole theme is finished. 9 psukim, so there's no requirement for 10. But the Mechaber recommends that you should lean over the last pasuk twice. Interesting that that counts. When you lean over the last pasuk, that counts. The Shibboleth Aleket, in speaking about this issue, paskens that Shalom in Yona. And he says, and there's no need. I thought he was going to say, there's no need to lean over the last pasuk. He says, no, there's no need to start from the previous parsha. There's no need to start from a few psukim before. I wonder whether he implies that there were those who, instead of leaning over the last pasuk, have to look some more Rishonim. Sounds as if there were some Rishonim who started before Vayavah Amalek. He started from the earlier parsha in order to make sure that you have 10 psukim.
Why would they say you overlap? Like,
I mean,
one of the obvious to start.
What do you mean overlap? On Rosh Chodesh is a different. On Rosh Chodesh we need to lean more, way more than 10 psukim. The only problem is.
We
overlap because that's a different problem. You're not supposed to start an aliyah within 3 psukim before. I mean, on Purim you could do the same thing. Okay, you could do the same thing. Same thing. I mean, you're laying over a pasuk twice. Laying over any pasuk. Why does it have to be the last pasuk? Could have been a middle pasuk. Okay. Same thing. The Mechaber writes down Minik Svar that they don't the Rambam's opinion, the Bir Agra, the Gevilna Gaon hold like that. You don't say Shachyanu in the morning. You don't say Shachyanu in the morning. And the Ramah writes the Minik Ashkenaz, what the Balei HaTosfos say, that we do say Shachyanu in the morning. Even though we read the Megillah last night and we said Shachyanu, you still repeat Shachyanu in the morning. The question is why? You just said Shachyanu last night. You only say Shachyanu on a mitzvah habo mizman lizman. It's not a Shachyanu of buying a new suit. It's not a shachyanu of having a baby or something. This is a shachyanu of mitzvah bom is man is man. So what are you saying shachyanu again in the morning? It's a big problem. So Tosfos has difficulty with it. So the Meiri Anat Gemara has his famous comment that the Mishnah Brura writes that the shachyanu that you say in the morning is a shachyanu on the yontif. The shachyanu at night is on the Mikra Megillah. But the Yom Tov of Purim doesn't begin until the morning. The night of Purim is the night before Purim. It's not Purim. Purim begins in the morning. Rav Soloveitchik used to point out a whole string of Rishonim who seem to say like that, that the night before Purim is really not Purim. Purim begins in the morning. Chodesh Dikeshita. Yeros HaMeach has about that. And then the Meiri is of the opinion that Shachyanu, the Gemara says in Erev and Daf Mem, Shachyanu Omer Afilo Bashuk, that you can recite the Brach of Shachyanu on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, even when you're walking in the street. You don't necessarily have to recite it over the cup of Kiddush. We are saying anyway Kiddush Alakos, and you may as well say except for Yom Kippur. There's no Kiddush Alakos. But the other Yom Tov, when you're going to say Kiddush Alayayin, say you may as well save the Shachyanu to recite it Alayayin, to enhance the chashivas of the brach, but strictly speaking, shachyanu omer afilu bashuk. So the Miri says that even applies to Purim. Shachyanu, if you have no Megillah, the Miri says he still says shachyanu in the daytime of Purim for the yontif. And on Chanukah, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it in Hilchas Chanukah. The Miri in Bema Madlikin writes like that. The Miri in Megillah writes it by Purim. The Miri in Masechah Shabbos writes it by Chanukah, that he says shachyanu afilu bashuk, even if you have no neres Chanukah to light to fulfill the mitzvah, he still says shachyanu. And the Etzem Yontif itself. That's what Rabbi Shulam Ruach writes in his Chuvas in the Kol Mavaser about Yom Atzmaut. That you see, you can say Shachyana even though there's no mitzvah, you can say Shachyana on the day itself, based on the Miri. It's a little bit of a jump over here. We know that Chanukah and Purim were instituted as Yomim Tovim by the Chachamim. So when it comes that Yontif, so they're Machayv, you say Shachyana, like on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But Yom Atzmaut, if he himself says that he's not going to He says there's no need to make a takone, because it says in the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Purim, in the name of the Maram al Shakar, that whenever a community has a Yeshua, has a Hatzolah, they can observe it as a Yontif throughout all the future generations in commemoration of what happened years ago. So the community says Shachyanu. The Pashto says he only says Shachyanu if it's a takonas chachamim, establishing the day as a day on the calendar, a special day. But it's just based on the Maram al Shakar. That if they wanted, they can volunteer to observe the day as a day of celebration. The Pashto says you don't say Shachyanu. It's questionable what he wrote. Highly questionable. The Vilna Gaon said you have to be careful on Purim, that Shloshim Yom Kodem HaPesach, you have to start learning Hilchas Pesach. The day should not be totally wasted. You should try to learn a little bit. Start to learn Hilchas Pesach. Pashto says that for the purpose of Shalach Monas, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyadim like this. Pashto says that you're not Yotze if you give candies and chocolates and nasharai, potato chips. The Pashto says you have to give Epis a portion of a meal. You give a challah, you give a piece of flesh, you give a salami, you give a chicken or something. You give yayin, let's say you give challah and yayin. Yayin is a machlekes. The way we have the Giris in the Gemara Megillah, it says that you are yotze with a barrel of wine, a bottle of wine. And the Rabbeinu Hananel seems to have had the Giris in the Gemara that you're not yotze. The Shalach Manas has to be two courses in the meal, two macholim, that you're not yotze with a mashka.
Would there be the difference between, let's say, yayin and any other type of mashka? Since you said that the purpose that you made Mishka Sinfon is this idea of drinking wine, maybe wine or yayin, you don't know, let's say,
I don't think so. The Rabbeinu Hananel has the girsa on a barrel of wine that it's no good. Even on a barrel of wine, his girsa says that it's no good. Our girsa says that it is good. I mean, according to our girsa, maybe it's only wine. A bottle of soda would be no good. Could be. That could be. The Mechaber quotes a machlokes what he say al anisim in benching if you're benching balayla. So we are makel that you do say al anisim, but the Pashto says that a person should arrange his meal sudas purim in such a way that he should avoid getting involved in the machlokes. You should see to it that he benches Mebod Yom before the Shkir. But even if you follow the Ramah still says you have to see to it that the Roiv HaSuda, the Iker of the Suda, should be by Yom, not just to wash and to say Amoitzi. It's not like Shalosh Sudas. As long as you had a nibble of challah before Shkir, then you continue to eat all you want during Ben HaShemash. No, the Iker of the Suda should take place by Yom. And preferable would be that the benching should also be by Yom. Yeah, some achrenim hold that you're not machloikis, some hold that you're not yoitze if it's in a mevushal. Mishnah Berurah quotes the machloikis. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Nechof and Simon Tafresh Tzadikei quotes the machloikis. Are you yoitze if it's raw? Maybe it has to be roi lachila the way it is now. Magen Avram quotes a machloikas achrayim. If a person benches by Sudas Purim, forgot to say Alanisim, is a yotzei or not? Does he have to repeat the benching? Magen Avram claims that that machloikas means that machloikas depends on whether you have to wash or not. If you have to wash for the Sudas Purim, then if you forget Alanisim, you're not yotzei. If it didn't work that you didn't have to wash for Sudas Purim, then if you forget Alanisim, you wouldn't have to repeat the Brichas Amos. Baruch HaShulchan thinks that he's wrong. He thinks that everybody agrees that you have to wash for Sudas Purim. He has a raya from a mechaber in Hilchas Shabbos that you're not yotzei a sheva brachas if you don't wash. If you go to a wedding and you don't wash, you had a meal, but you're not yotzei in the mitzvahs Sudas mitzvah. So the Baruch HaShulchan thinks for sure you have to wash for the Sudas Purim, and the machlokes are different machlokes, whether they are mesaken alanisim likuvah, that even with the Yevit, if you bench and you forgot to say Alan Nisim, you have to bench over again. That's the Machlokes. The Rambam, I'll close with this. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Purim that if a person has two alternatives before him, he has extra money. So you can either give the extra money towards Matanas Lev Yoinim, or you can use the extra money for Shalach Manis and Sudas Purim. So it's preferable to use the extra money for Matanas Lev Yoinim, and it gives you a whole arichas why. That this is v'halachta b'drochav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind to the poor, so we should be kind to the poor. The other is a mitzvah, but this is a bigger mitzvah. And most people don't think so. Most people don't do that. Most people waste much more money on Shalach Manis and Sudas Purim than they do on Matanas Lev Yoinim. It's not right. It's the Chanof and the Rambam. It's not right. So when you get married, should do it your way. Okay, at 12:30, another 2 minutes is going to be a kenes in the Lampert Auditorium. Everybody is urged to attend. I guess we're going to say Caleb for the terrible matzav in Eretz Yisrael.